Talk 1170
KCBQ.
Thank you for joining us for the Rick Amato Show. Rick has written columns for the Washington Times and is a frequent guest and contributor for CNN Television. You've seen him several times in the Lou Dobbs Show. If you'd like to call Rick, get online now at 1-888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. And keep in mind, you can also find Rick online at amatotalk.com. And now, here's Rick Amato.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two. I'm Rick Amato. This is the Rick Amato Show. Phone lines, 888-344-1170. That number, ask questions, call in, participate. But that, more importantly, that number is also donate money. Operators standing by, 888-344-1170. You can donate money to the Legal Defense Fund of imprisoned 23-year-old American soldier, Private First Class Corey Clagg. Money's come in from all across the country since last night, and we're going to continue to raise money throughout. We will get him the defense he needs. We will get him out of prison, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just a one-and-done. We realize it's a marathon, not a sprint. We're not going to go one-and-done, all the cliches you can think of. Okay, a couple quick housekeeping items. Again, yours truly, I will be a guest on the Dennis Miller Show a week from Thursday. I'll keep you up. Dated on that and posted as it arrives. As that date arrives, Lou Dobbs for president. He was on a show last week. Lou said, "No way, Jose." No pun intended. I'll talk more about that later. I think it's a great, great marketing ploy on behalf of Lou Dobbs. And I mean marketing in a respectful way. Gets his name out there, increases his leverage, makes him the 800-pound gorilla in the political race, increases his prestige with those powers that be at CNN, you name it. I feel he's no more about to run for president than Donald Trump ever was. Okay, how about our guest in hour number one? We had Rod Hagren from Tridy Panel. They make fire-resistant homes. Fire-resistant homes at the same price point. They look just as beautiful as any other home. And yet no one in town knows about it. No one in the country knows about it. Very few people do. And it's being used worldwide. They're based here in San Diego. Thought that was a fascinating guest. Denise Platt, you heard a song that she wrote and performed after having lost a loved one, talking about getting up and fighting again, getting up and moving on with your life. Thought that was a very fascinating guest. Joining me now is a gentleman by the name of Mikey Weinstein. He is the founder of an organization called Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And it's my understanding that Mikey Weinstein and this group, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, is concerned that Christian conservatives are taking over the military. And if I put it the wrong way, Mikey Weinstein, please correct me. Mikey Weinstein, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. Well, I'm not sure that you put it the wrong way. I think that we're not talking about this being an issue of, a Christian-Jewish issue, because it's not. It's a fundamentalist Christian versus the Constitution issue, and it's not a left political spectrum left or right issue. It's a constitutional right and wrong issue. I'm a registered Republican. I come from a conservative military family, three consecutive generations of military academy graduates, including myself. I was a lawyer in the West Wing of the White House for Ronald Reagan, general counsel to Ross Perot, and my youngest son just graduated from the Air Force Academy. He's the sixth member of my family to go there, and we have over 128 years of combined active duty military service, Rick, and my immediate family, from every major combat engagement the country's been in, from World War I to the current so-called global war on terror. My nephew heads back in a couple months for his second tour as a Marine infantryman in Iraq. So we're concerned about, not concerned, I mean, we're at war. We're in federal court now against a certain subset of evangelical Christianity with a long technical name that basically it goes by the term dominionist fundamentalist Christianity's attempt to use the power of the military command authority, subordinates that are helpless against superiors. That's what we're doing. And our website, for anyone who's listening tonight, is www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. We're a nonprofit charity.
All right. Well, Mikey, first of all, I have to ask you, why Mikey and not Mike?
My classmates at the Air Force Academy did that to me about 30-some-odd years ago when that Life cereal commercial came out.
I remember that, yeah. Mikey likes it.
That's right. And I fought it for a long time, Rick. I mean, I have a brother. He used to go by Ricky, but now the only person that calls me Mike or Michael is my wife of 30 plus years when she gets pissed off. So it's Mikey. I've given in a long time.
All right, I get it. It's a good story. All right, Mikey. You describe yourself. You are not the profile of a person we'd expect to be raising this argument. As a matter of fact, I expect you to come on and tell us you're very liberal and so on and so forth, but you've given a different profile altogether. Give us an idea. You're not concerned about Judeo-Christian beliefs. You're more concerned about, I believe you call them evangelical, I forget the exact term you use.
Well, it's not, we're at war. I mean, I'm on the show with you tonight here. With the gun spoke in my face, Rick, I'm at war not at all with Christianity or even evangelical Christianity. We have many notable evangelicals that support us tremendously, but there's a small subset, about 12.6% of the American public that goes by this term. It's actually a long term, and given that we have limited time tonight, I'll just say it once. The technical term is premillennial dispensational reconstructionist dominionist Christians.
Okay, and who are they?
Basically, they're people like Pat Robertson, James Dobson, the now deceased Jerry Falwell, the now disgraced Ted Haggard, people like John Hagee and his Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, the now deceased D. James Kennedy. But the real thing is that we have for your listeners, we have 737 U.S. military installations that the Pentagon admits that we have. It's actually closer to 1,000 scattered around the world. In 132 countries, Rick, and on every one of them now, we have one of these dominionist fundamentalist organizations for the officers called the Officers Christian Fellowship, and for the enlisted folks, it's called the Christian Military Fellowship, and they have a three-level goal that they're unabashed about. It's right on their website, and it states that, our goals are, and these are goals that they view much more critically important than the oaths they all swore out to preserve and protect, support and defend the Constitution of the United States. The first goal is they want to, quote, see a spiritually transformed United States military. Goal number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. Goal number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Last couple weeks ago, we went over 6,000 active duty members of the United States Marine Corps, Rick, Navy, Army, and Air Force, and veterans who've come to our foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, again at militaryreligiousfreedom.org, really a spiritual rape victim tormentees begging for our help. And the shocker is that 96% of them are Christians, roughly 3/4, traditional Protestants, 1/4 Roman Catholic, and we'll get 4 to 4.5% that are Jewish, Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu, Shinto, agnostic and atheist. But it's basically fundamentalist Christians that are telling their non-fundamentalist Christian brothers and sisters, you're not Christian enough. You may have thought you were Christian enough, but as a result, you will be burning eternally in the fires of hell along with the Jews.
What percent of our population in America do you feel, I'd like to know, what percent in America has this, without trying to repeat the phrase, I'm going to call it extreme right-wing Christian views?
12.6%.
12.6.
38 million.
What percent in the military would you state?
Roughly 30%.
Wow. So close to a third. Now, do you think, Mikey, that it is because, I've had people call the show who are really they're liberals, okay, and just very, very angry at George Bush. I have people calling the show who are conservatives and liberal that are angry at George Bush. But in particular, I've had people call the show and say, listen, this is just a holy war. It's a religious war. And I don't know if I'm quite ready to agree with that. In fact, I don't. I do believe it is a war on radical Islam. However, do you feel, Mikey, that because it is a war with a radical group of a religion, radical Islam, is that why this extreme conservative group is being attracted to recruiting to the military, in your opinion?
It's a great question. I do lots of interviews, and I speak all over the country, and that's a really good question, Rick. I can tell you that, look, historically we defeated fascists like Hitler, Mussolini, and Tojo in World War II in 44 months. I've been in this fight for 46 months. But, we defeated Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini without having to become Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini. We should not, we ought not, and we dare not become the Christian Taliban and the Christian Al-Qaeda to defeat Islamic fundamentalism as it attempts to impose Sharia law on the rest of us, having Christians in our U.S. military of the stripe, the far right fundamentalist fringe, that are trying to impose their weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ biblical worldview on the rest of us. And you know, this is something that on my board, I've got admirals and generals and governors and Nobel Peace Prize winners and ambassadors and people from every religious faith and political background. As I said, this is not a conservative or liberal issue. In this country, as Sandra Day O'Connor said, we don't count heads before enforcing the First Amendment. And yet, where was the average American, Rick? Where were you? Where were we all on Tuesday, July 12, 2005, when on the front page of the newspaper most reviled by the Pentagon, which is not your newspaper there in San Diego, or not even the LA Times, but the New York Times, the number two ranking general among the thousands in the chaplain's corps in the U.S. Air Force, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, he's still in his job, made the amazing statement on the front page again of the New York Times, so you know it had to be fully vetted, that it was now the United States Air Force's official policy to, quote, reserve its right to evangelize anyone it determined to be unchurched. Now, that, of course, is a de facto religion test, which by itself violates Clause 3, Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, where our founding fathers said, look, we're never going to have a religion test.
Well, Mike, but let me ask you, do you feel it's because it's a war on radical Islam that this is occurring?
No, I think that it's because, yes and no. I think that the fundamentalists believe that they'll do whatever they can possibly do to serve as an accelerant and lubricant to bring Jesus back as quickly as possible, and their playbook is not the Constitution. It is their version of the Book of Revelation and trying to bring about its prophecies. And if you really try to check to see what this war is about, it is not the clash of two different types of civilizations. As Reza Aslan, one of the most brilliant young Islamic intellectuals in the world, who's on my advisory board, states in his great book, No God But God, he lives, of course, in that hotbed of al-Qaeda activity, Santa Monica, California, and he's a frequent guest on MSNBC and CNN and all the networks, that this is actually a continued this is actually a continued fight between the Shia and the Sunni. That's what this is. That's what this really is, on a grand scale.
Now, you somehow I'm lost on that, but we'll come back to that. But let's go to the phone lines now. We have a special caller on line two. His name is Bob Siegel. He's one of the top-rated talk show hosts on weekends here at KCBQ. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Doing terrific. Do you have a question, a comment for our guest, Bob?
First of all, I've never been in the military, but my respect for the military goes up every year. So even though I disagree with some of the things this gentleman says, I want to first thank him for his service in the military, and it's very honorable.
Thank you.
My question is, I was a campus minister for many years, and I would have said that my purpose on the college campus was similar to what some of these evangelical Christians are saying in the military. I would have unabashedly admitted that I was there to evangelize. I don't see how somebody's freedom of speech to share their religion, even if it includes elements that somebody doesn't want to hear, is imposing on anybody's civil liberties. Now, I do think a lot of Christians are tactless, and on my own radio show all the time, I chastise Christians for saying really stupid things. Just a couple of weeks ago, I just went out on a craze against Westboro Baptist in Kansas. I don't know if you've been following that story. So I admit Christians say all kinds of stupid things, but I do think they have a right to say them.
Bob, is it Bob?
Yes.
That's an excellent point, and I would I would give my last drop of blood and my last breath and commend my three children who wear the uniform of the armed forces, all of them academy graduates, my Christian daughter-in-law and my two Jewish sons, to support everything that you've said. The difference becomes this way. In the U.S. military, and I know that you've never been in the military, but in the U.S. military, by design, specific design, our honorable and noble U.S. Military members, our Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen are second-class constitutional citizens. They give up many of their own constitutional rights, they're abridged significantly, in order to support the necessarily critical goal of providing good order and discipline so that we have the necessary lethality in our U.S. military to protect the full panoply of rights for the rest of us. If I'm walking the campus of UCLA or UCSD, no issue. If I'm walking through a state fair, if I'm in my front yard, if I'm in a restaurant, in a movie theater, no issue. But when that person is my military superior, it's bad enough in the private sector if that's my shift manager at Starbucks, KFC, or Walgreens. It's not allowed. It's a killer lawsuit under Title VII of the U.S. Code. But that's not just your shift manager at Taco Bell in the military. In the U.S. military, for instance, having sexual intercourse with someone other than your spouse, adultery is routinely punished as a felony. I've tried and defended those cases. I spent 10 years as a JAG in the Air Force. In the military, if you're told to go to the base dentist by anybody superior to you in rank at 4 p.m. and you don't go, it's a felony. Our Pentagon, Bob and Rick, recognizes. They know that because our military members are necessarily second-class constitutional citizens, but they're very vulnerable.
Mikey, one second. I'm not sure you've answered Bob's question.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get to the point by saying that it's very different being a campus minister on an open, college campus as opposed to being someone superior in rank using the draconian specter of command influence to push your biblical worldview. Because if you're even being gently evangelized by your military superior up and down the chain of command, get the hell out of my face, sir or ma'am, is not an option for you, which is why 96% of the tormentees coming to us are Christian themselves.
Okay, I'll grant you that there's a significant difference between the military and the college campus or the military,
right,
or anything else in our country. I would need to hear, to be convinced that civil rights are being violated, that if a commanding officer is actually instructing somebody to go to a church service, if there were any kind of law that is forcing Christians, people to become Christians, I would be against that. But you were comparing these people, sir, to Hitler. You said we don't want to become like the Hitlers that we're fighting. I mean, somebody's sharing their faith. Somebody says we're going to have a club, and one of our goals is to evangelize, which we believe in, and we're comparing that to the Taliban.
Yes, we are.
Honestly, isn't that just a little extreme?
No, in fact, it's not extreme enough. If you go to our website and you spend some 600 quality seconds there, you'll see the stuff that's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, where soldiers are being told that unless they accept this biblical worldview, they will be going on the missions most likely to confront
the jihadists. Okay, well, anybody who's saying that, I would completely agree with you. But anybody who's simply sharing their faith or saying, but what you said at the beginning of the program is that these people were stating that their goals are to share the gospel. Now, somebody can state in the military that their goals are to share the gospel without commanding people to respond to the gospel, and I don't think they should be compared to the Taliban. If a superior officer is commanding somebody to go to a church service and threatening them, or there's some kind of provable harassment, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. But that's not exactly what I heard you saying
Well, Bob, let's put it this way. There are thousands of chaplains and chaplains' assistants and chapels in the U.S. military. I was married in the largest university cathedral in the world at the U.S. Air Force Academy. And what we're talking about, let me put it to you metaphorically using water as an example. The way our Constitution sets it out for all of our citizens, and this holds true in the military, if you're walking through, like, say, a city park in San Diego, and there's 10,000, because there's roughly 10,000 recognized world religious faiths, and let's say each of them is a fountain bubbling with cool water on a hot summer day in San Diego. If you need to have your spiritual thirst quenched, you have the right as an American citizen to drink from whatever fountain of those 10,000, of the Buddhist, the Catholic, the Satanist, the atheist, the Protestant, the Mormon, whatever one you want, take as little or as much as you want. However, what's happened is the fundamentalist Christians in the U.S. military, using the draconian specter of command influence, have taken using this water metaphor, and they've basically turned into a fire hose, eerily reminiscent of what we saw in the early 60s in Selma and Montgomery on helpless subordinates, or even worse, they're waterboarding them. I mean, this is why we're in federal court. We're suing them, showing a pervasive and pernicious pattern and practice of constitutional rape by our military command structures.
Can you give me an example?
How about this one? What do you do when you've got a three-star general commanding over 70,000 troops who commands his staff to put together a PowerPoint presentation requiring all troops to sign off, showing the direct parallel between the Book of Revelation and all of our movements into Crete, Mosul, Anbar Province, Sadr City in the northwest part of Baghdad, Tora Bora, and Fallujah?
I'm with you on that one.
I think that we probably would agree on everything. Now, if someone, I'll give you an example of evangelical Christians that come to us because they're being castigated because they are not ordering subordinates, to come to Bible studies on Wednesday night or on Sundays, and then they're being told they're not good enough Christians. I would, like I said, fight tooth and nail for someone. As you have absolute and total complete access and right to whatever religious faith you want. You just can't order a subordinate
Okay, but sir, the three things that you mentioned that concerned you at the beginning,
yes,
didn't say anything about ordering the subordinates. Like I said, I said right from the top, I'm
right
with you if they're ordering the subordinates. But you said that them just getting together and claiming that their goals were to bring the Holy Spirit to people, and their goals were to evangelize, and their goals were to educate, and that they believed that Christianity was the only true religion. Well, Christians believe that.
Yes,
you're free to disagree, but those were the things you said at the beginning, and those were the things that you were comparing to the Taliban, and that's what I was taking issue with.
Well, I understand, but let me say it again. If you're a commanding officer and you're getting out in front of your group and making it very clear that your goals are to see a completely spiritually transformed U.S. military with ambassadors for Christ in uniform, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's very different. I'm trying to explain what it's like being in the military command structure, Bob. It's like trying to explain how beautiful the Grand Canyon looks on a summer sunset evening in Arizona to Stevie Wonder. It is the mere tacit nuance of a commander is filled with the overwhelming dread of you will, thou shalt, and that's what the law. Let me put it to you this way: at the Virginia Military Institute, you've heard of VMI in mm-hmm. Virginia, one of the oldest state-run military academies that we have in the country. In 2003, the conservative fourth district court, U.S. district court, came down of appeals. By the way, came down and said that even having a secular dinnertime prayer, which had been going on at VMI for more than a century, exacted an unconstitutional toll from religious objectors there, and it had to stop because of the unusual adversarial, communal, and ritualistic nature of the U.S. military, which you would not find on a college campus. And so that's, look, we're going to fight with the law.
Okay, well, I want to be fair, and I want to be clear. So let me just throw out this scenario. We have a commanding officer, and in his case, he is not commanding anybody to go to one Bible study or one chapel service. If they don't want to hear about Christianity, they don't have to. If they don't want to pray before their meal, they don't have to.
Right.
However, he still makes it clear that even though he's in the Army and his first oath is to the United States Constitution, he does personally have the goal, only on a voluntary basis, of sharing the gospel. And yes, he would love to see the military transformed. He's not going to force it on anybody. Are you saying that simply by nature of the fact that he's a commanding officer, he doesn't even have the right to publicly state that as his goal?
I think he has to be extremely careful. I hate to use the term of slippery slope, but if he was to announce that at a meeting or at a staff meeting or at a meeting of his command or whatever, we would sue him in federal court and say that he's violated his oath and committed sedition.
Okay, but see, that there is nothing in the Constitution that says that a person can't say something like that.
Yes, there is. There, it's in there numerous places, actually.
Absolutely not. Share me one place in our Constitution.
We'll start right off the bat with the separation of church and state.
The word separation between church and state is not found anywhere.
No,
you think
it's a myth like Bigfoot, Popeye, and
Bigfoot? No, it's not a myth.
Not.
It comes from a letter that
no,
Thomas
stop it.
May I ask
what law school did you graduate from? I graduated from law school in California, University of the Pacific.
Sir, that may be, but I still know how to read the Constitution.
Yeah, but sir,
and
sir,
what
sir,
it says is Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its exercise thereof.
Kansas City and federal district court. That is the biggest canard in the world. That is a myth. But let's leave that alone for a second, because the Bill of Rights did not go into effect until 91, March of 1791. 15 months earlier, in December of 1789, the actual body of the Constitution went into effect. And our founding fathers were so assiduously careful not to mix church and state. They saw, for instance, that most of the tyrannies that had occurred in Europe had been when men of the cloth had been men of political power. They looked at Cromwell in England. They didn't even, Bob, have to leave our shores. They looked at the Salem witch trials and said, not here. And they put in, again, Clause 3, Article 6, as I mentioned earlier, we will never have a religion test for any position in the federal government.
Yes, but sir,
having a commander get up
there, commanding officer saying that he personally has...
Mikey, let him respond. Go ahead, Bob.
Commanding officer saying that he personally has the goal to evangelize, but he's not forcing it on anybody, is not a religion test.
It is a religion test. You're wrong.
You are not allowed to ask a person what his opinion is of religion and make that as a criteria for putting him in office.
Sir,
I may not have been in law school, but I know that to be true, sir.
Okay. I know what you know to be true, and I have a completely different view, so we can agree to disagree.
Well, you can quote activist judges, but activist judges say unconstitutional things all the time.
No, activist judges mean judges that don't bend their will to the fundamentalist Christian perspective.
No,
President Musharraf, Bob, just put a bunch of activist judges in jail over in Pakistan?
Is that what you want to do,
sir?
Were being constitutional, were they?
Is that what you want to do?
Were the judges in the Dred Scott decision being constitutional?
Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they were?
No, I don't. That's my whole point. You can
be a
judge and make
violent overthrow of
the government. Judges make stupid comments about the Constitution all the time. So what's your point?
But were the judges in the Roe v. Wade case? Do you think that they were being activists there?
The judges in the Roe v. Wade case, yes, I do believe they were being.
What about the judge? What about the conservative Bush appointee?
Well, no. Why don't you answer my Dred? You answer my Dred.
Intelligent design versus.
After you answer my Dred Scott question, I'll answer yours.
What about the one in Dover, Pennsylvania?
After you answer my Dred Scott decision, I'll answer yours.
I don't. I think the judges were doing the best that they could do at that time.
You think the judges that were saying that a slave is property were doing the best they can to?
Can I answer your question?
Interpret our Constitution.
If you don't, we fought a war over this stuff. But the fact of the matter is that we have checks and balances. If we don't like a decision, we don't have to sit there and say, let's kill the judge, let's pass a new law.
Well, sir, I didn't say let's kill the judge. I just said that an activist judge's case law is not the same to me as somebody reading the Constitution for themselves.
And to me, an activist judge is a judge that actively supports the spirit and intent, letter and every other aspect, the aroma of everything that's the freedom
about
our
Constitution. Well, if we're going to get into spirit and intent, the fact that our Constitution was written at a time when most of our colleges were Bible colleges and people were having public prayer suggests that the forefathers didn't seem concerned about people talking about
religion. Women didn't even have the right to vote. People of color couldn't vote. We didn't have fluoride in the waters. It wasn't until 1940 with a decision that involved the state of Connecticut that the Bill of Rights was even applied to the states. But we have had generations of case law backing the separation of church and state. And, you know, like I said before, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. We're already in federal court. Why don't you file a brief against us and we'll go and see where we go?
Okay. All right.
Okay, we have a difference of opinion about activist judges.
Let me real quick.
The moral equivalency of racism as opposed to somebody speaking religion outside the church, I think there would have been a big difference between that and the fathers. And a lot of our forefathers did have the intent to end slavery, but they knew that they couldn't put that clause in the Constitution because the South wouldn't go along with them.
Telling somebody,
so, I mean, who are we kidding
telling
here?
Telling somebody underneath you that they lack integrity and character because of the way that of their religion.
Okay.
Like telling somebody they're stupid because of the color of their skin, Bob. Is that what you're saying?
I will say this, Mikey.
What on earth
Mikey,
are you talking
Mikey,
about?
Mikey, you see,
about
Mikey, you see, Mikey,
skin.
You sound stupid when you say something like that.
Well, Mikey,
Mikey, you sound stupid.
Don't really advance the discussion.
Mikey, who was making comments about the color of someone's skin?
I made no comment on the color of someone's
skin. Of course
skin.
Not.
No, of course.
I asked you your opinion of the Dred Scott decision.
No, that's wrong.
You were making a case.
You were trying to make
a judge's interpreting
racism.
I don't see any flexibility in Mikey Weinstein here.
Excuse me, sir. I don't have to be the Pharaoh of flexibility. I'm dealing with the Constitution and trying to support the rights of the people of our U.S. military. And where's your flexibility? I'm not asking for you to be flexible. I'm a guest.
Listen to him. Listen to this guy. He's classic. He's classic.
Oh, classic.
He's got skin. He's got skin as thick as an amoeba.
I thought we weren't talking about skin there, brother.
He's got skin. All right, so Mikey Weinstein, what I love about talk radio, folks, is you let someone talk long enough and they expose themselves. They expose who they are. All right. Okay. By the way, Bob Siegel, you can hear him every Sunday at 3 p.m., the Bob Siegel Show, here on 1170 KCBQ. And that was Bob Siegel calling in. Mikey Weinstein, the web address is it's militaryreligiousfreedomfoundation.org. We'll give him out his website. Anyhow, we want to thank Mikey Weinstein for joining us. He said it's not a global war on terrorism. It's not a global war on extreme Islam. It's Sunnis versus Shiites played out largely. And anyway, I want to thank our guests for joining us. I'm Rick Amato. We're back after this.
Hi, this is Rod Hadrian, CEO of TriDPanel.com, builder of fire-resistant homes, and you are listening to The Rick Amato Show.
Attention traders of the stock, commodity, and forex markets. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than just profits and losses? Are you looking to balance your life with something greater than yourself? Then discover the joy of giving with Benefit All this holiday season. It's easy, automatic, and will make you feel like you're on top of the world. Join us. Call Leagues in Trading at the Fiesta Inn in Tempe, Arizona, November 27th. Call leaguesintrading.com, 630-235-9674.
Hi, this is Antonino Mastellone, the owner of Arrivederci Restaurant at 4th Avenue and University in Hillcrest. And you are listening to the Ricky Amato Show.
Okay, folks, now it's time for Nancy Gardner with the Market View Update.
Well, Rick, Thursday is Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. Besides family and home and a strong economy, the interest rates are quite palatable. And many loan programs previously unavailable have come back to help you get into a property or refinance if you're in one of those loans with negative amortization. Although sales are down from the unsustainable peak of 2005, there's still an historically high level of home sales taking place this year. According to Lawrence Yoon, the chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, and I quote, "One out of 16 American households is buying a home this year. The speculative excesses have been removed from the market, and home sales are returning to fundamentally healthy levels while prices remain near record highs, reflecting favorable mortgage rates," unquote. Existing home sales are expected to be over 5.75 million this year and over 6.5 million next year. Now that's something to be thankful for. Have a wonderful holiday, and call me if you need to refinance a property or purchase one. California Mortgage Consultants, also known as CMC Finance, can get the job done. Call Nancy Gardner, 858-456-3000. That number is 858-456-3000. And our email and website have Charlie Mary Charlie in them, CMC. So my email is nancy@cmcfinance.com and our website, www.cmcfinance.com. Happy Thanksgiving.
Rick Amato on News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Amato. Boy, I tell you what, I kind of stepped out of the way. Bob Siegel calling in. He hosts the Bob Siegel Show. I did not know that Bob was a minister, a campus minister. I knew he had a religious, a strong religious background. I just didn't know the particulars. But Bob called in and spiced things up a bit. What about Mikey Weinstein? Folks, do you know he hung up? He hung up. You know, it cracks me up how some of these people, not all, but typically speaking, these people that they tend to be liberal, and they have this very defensive, thin skin. And it cracks me up how they come on, and whether it's this talk show, another talk show, and they sort of bring your attempt to bring your guard down by saying, look, I'm just like you. He made the assumption that I'm conservative. I find myself more of a centrist, but he went on the assumption that I'm conservative. And I would say I'm probably more right of center, but I'm just like you. I voted Republican. I've got smoke and ash in my face from the war. My family goes back to the Civil War. Blah, 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 blah. And then the moment you have any hint of a disagreement with them, they fall apart like a house of cards. They fold like a house of cards. They are, you know, the lady from Code Pink, the lady we had on from Code Pink last week had the same demeanor. It was every comment was defensive. Every comment was, every other comment was condescending. This guy was classic. He hangs up on us. He tells Bob Segrum, ask Bob Segrum something about who made a comment about you don't like people, the color of people's skin. Segrum never. Siegel, I'm sorry, my mistake, Siegel. Bob Siegel never made a comment, never hinted towards it.
You can't handle the truth.
That's right, that's right. Siegel asked him about, what was the other question that was interesting? About activist judges. In this guy's mind, the only activist judge is that judge which makes a decision that sides on a side of Christian conservatives. In this guy's mind, that judge is an activist judge, and no other is, basically. The thing that I wanted to get into with him, did he not talk 100 miles an hour? When you ask him, B, did he not give you C through Z and came back around to A to get to B? I mean, the guy talked 100 miles an hour, and he told you how to build the aircraft instead of just flying it. But in the midst of all that rambling, he made the comment, this is not a war between two cultures. It is not a war with radical Islam. It is simply a war among Shiites and Sunnis being played out on a global stage. I am not quite sure where he was going with that, and I wanted to get there. But I will say this. How in the hell can you not say this is a clash of cultures? It's been coming for years as the demographics change, as those of the Islamic faith grow demographically. And again, I'm saying it's a war with radical Islam. As those who grow in Islam grow in numbers, as they spread throughout Europe. I mean, poll after poll has been taken, which shows that people from Islamic backgrounds in Middle Eastern countries are living in places like London and Paris and Milan and Rome, and yet show a greater identity not with their new culture, but with the culture from which they came. And so how this guy could come on here and say this is not a clash among cultures. And if he would have said not a clash with Islam, but instead with radical Islam, I'm in agreement. But for him to say it's not that, and that wasn't even the point of, I don't believe, of why he wanted to come on. He wanted to come on and tell us how, well, you heard about how a radical, in his mind, a radical group of Christian conservatives, in his words, are hijacking the military. And I felt that was an interesting topic. But he showed he was defensive. He was condescending. And he hung up. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Joy in Chula Vista. Joy, welcome to the show.
Yes, Rick. I just wanted to add some information on this.
Please do.
I think this guy was a propagandist from the Pentagon. In the last several years, through the Pentagon, the chaplains in each of the military services have been threatened. Okay? They have been threatened that they were not to pray in Jesus' name at all, period. Okay, and they can't do that. That goes against their religion. So the ACLJ, which is like the opposite from the ACLU, has been trying to get the Pentagon to relent on this, and to, because the chaplains, they're military officers, and they have been threatened with their being kicked out of the military and everything else.
Yeah.
So I think that has And I don't know what the status of that is today. I don't know if they've ever gotten that straightened out or if the Pentagon is still in the process of doing that. But I think the guy that you had on has been sent out come in between this, because he has the opposite. What he was saying was nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Totally crazy.
And Joy, what I'm trying to find out is why do you believe he was connected to the Pentagon as a propagandist then?
Well, because the Pentagon is in the process. Each military service needs their chaplain, especially when in time of war. And what he was saying is the total opposite. See, the Pentagon has been in the process of not allowing the chaplains to pray at any function or with any of the.
I see what you're saying now. So you're thinking that maybe he was sent out to
counteract that.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
But that may be the Joy. That may be the only logical explanation, because this guy was nuts,
yeah,
like you said.
He wasn't a conservative.
No.
Absolutely was not. But everything he said, he had talking points.
Boy, did he have talking points.
So I just thought that might make it a little more clear as to what he was about.
Well, Joy, we appreciate that phone call. That's a very interesting call and insightful as well, giving us some of the background there.
Yeah, so I don't know, like I said, I don't know if the ACLJ has gotten the administration or the Pentagon to relax what they were doing to the chaplains. That may still be going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to tell you.
All right, Joy. Thank you for your phone call.
Okay.
Bye. Very interesting comment by Joy in Chula Vista. And Joy makes another good point, and that is this. He had his talking points. He had his, you know who you – I'm going to tell you something, folks. A very nice woman, Francine Busby. I think she's a very nice woman. I don't know her personally. If you may know, I hosted the debate between Brian Bilbray, Francine Busby here on this show when they were running to replace Duke Cunningham in the 50th District. And it was on radio, so you at home obviously could not see what I could see here in the studio. And what I could see with Francine Busby is that whenever I was asking her a question, she had talking points. She would not look at me. She would look through me like a deer staring, like a deer staring at a headlight. She had that blank stare as she was reciting her talking points. And at first I thought, was there something wrong here? But then I realized, wait, she's going for memorization. Well, what is my point behind this? My point is this. You can recognize when people have talking points. As soon as you countered this guy's talking points, he blew up. He wanted a name calling. He got angry, and he eventually hung up on us. What a joke. All right, listen, I'm back after this. When we come back, we'll talk about a few more items again. That was Bob Siegel. His show you can catch Sundays at 3 here on 1170 KCBQ. I'm Rick Amato. We're back right after this.
You're listening to The Rick Amato Show on News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
Hi, this is Nancy Gardner with California Mortgage Consultants. I'd like you to meet Craig Bratling, our major sponsor, Commonwealth Title.
Thank you, Nancy. As a matter of fact, Commonwealth Title started title insurance back in 1876 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we insure all over the country as well as in foreign countries, too. If you'd like to reach us at Commonwealth, you can call us at 1-800-500-TITLE or our website is commonwealthsd.com.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt reminding you to listen to The Hugh Hewitt Show weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 right here on 1170 KCBQ. And remember to keep your radio dial tuned to 1170 all day long and make sure you catch The Rick Amato Show Monday through Thursday nights 9 to 11 on 1170 KCBQ.
Attention traders of the stock, commodity, and Forex markets. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than just profits and losses? Are you looking to balance your life with something greater than yourself? Then discover the joy of giving with Benefit All this holiday season. It's easy, automatic, and will make you feel like you're on top of the world. Join us, colleagues in trading, at the Fiesta Inn in Tempe, Arizona, November 27th. Colleaguesintrading.com, 630-235-9674.
Okay, folks, now it's time for Nancy Gardner with the Market View Update.
Thanks, Rick. One of our listeners was advised to do a 1031 exchange by his realtor and asked my opinion on this transaction. So tonight I'll give the Cliff Notes version of a 1031 exchange. It's also known as a like-kind exchange, and it's a way of structuring a sale of certain kinds of property so that the seller's gain is not immediately taxed at the close of escrow when he purchases a new property, a like-kind of property of equal or greater value. In this type of transaction, the taxes are deferred. The sale of the current property and the acquisition of the replacement property don't have to be simultaneous, but the replacement property must be identified within 45 days after the sale of the old property, and the proceeds must be used to close the new property within 6 months. At the close of the sale, the proceeds are sent by the closing agent, and this is usually a title or escrow company or even an attorney, to a neutral third-party agency who holds the funds until such time as the replacement property closes. Then the proceeds from the sale are deposited to purchase the replacement property. The seller never holds the money in his own hands. The prevailing idea behind the IRS Code 1031 exchange is that since the taxpayer is merely exchanging one property for another, property of like kind, there is nothing received by the taxpayer that can be used to pay taxes. All the gain is still locked up in the exchanged property, and so no gain or loss is recognized or claimed for income tax purposes. Like all real estate transactions, things can get complex, so you'll need a professional. This is Lori Asher, and I can be reached at 619-997-6817. That's 619-997-6817. And remember this about me. Everything I touch turns to sold.
Rick Amato on News Talk 1170 KCBQ.
Well, you can't say, folks, you can't say that we don't deliver here. You can't say that we don't bring the game. I mean, we'll bring good guests, we'll bring entertaining guests, and we'll bring guests who are nuts. We'll bring it all. If they're nuts, they get to come on the show. If they're good, they get to come on. Mikey Weinstein. Hey, I should have known better when a grown man said my name is Mikey. All right? I should have known better. I told him I got it. When he said he called me that at the Air Force Academy 35 years ago, I told him I got it. I didn't really get it, but I didn't want to dwell upon it. So, anyway, I should have known better at that point. Joy's right. He was not a conservative. So what? He was not a conservative. That's okay. Just come out and say you're not. Why lie about it? Let me change gears for a moment here. Folks, I want to say this. I want to talk to you business owners out there in San Diego. You business owners out there. And I want to ask you a question. How would you like to be affiliated with one of San Diego's fastest-growing, up-and-coming talk shows on radio? I'm talking about this show, of course. It is San Diego's only live and local evening show. If you want to be affiliated with a fast-growing show, up-and-coming, the only live local evening show, some say we have a conservative message. Some say that we have a centrist message. I think we have a pragmatic message. I think we're about pragmatism. Well, if you want to be a part of, have your business being affiliated with this show, you can call us at 619-200-7228 to learn how you can become a sponsor. Folks, this show, the Rick Amato Show, is independently owned, independently operated, and it has independent thinking. We're not owned by KCBQ. We're not owned by Clear Channel. We're not owned by people out of New York, Los Angeles. We are independently owned, independently operated, and as I say, independently thinking. And the only way we continue to grow and stay on is, A, more listeners continue to listen in as they do, and B, those business owners out there like you listening in have an interest and want to be a part of, have your message, your company name sponsored and be a part of a show like this. So if that interests you, call us directly at 619-200-7228. I'll do that again. 619-200-7228. Again, we're not backed by a large company with corporations and budgets. It's me and our small staff here who works hard and passionately, and we've grown from a Saturday show to a weeknight show now, with Best Ofs on Sundays, with appearances on Lou Dobbs, Dennis Miller, Man Cow, writing in the Washington Times, you name it, and we're growing. And as I say, you want to be a part of that, we'd love to talk to you about that. 619-200-7228. All right, folks, again, you know, have a one. I hope you have a – it's turkey week, Thanksgiving week. Hope you're going to have a great Thanksgiving. I don't know if I am even permitted, as I stated earlier, I don't know if I'm even permitted to say Turkey Day. I don't know if I'm going to offend a descendant of a pilgrim. Hey, John Wayne Airport is right up the road. Maybe there's a descendant of John Wayne who would be offended. Maybe we violate the Constitution, as Brian just said. What, you're wondering why I said John Wayne. Wasn't there some movie he said something like, hey, pilgrim, or something about pilgrim John Wayne? So I don't know, but I do know that shopping malls are not allowing Santa Claus to say ho, 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 because it's viewed as a derogatory term towards women, and I find that it's not even funny. It really is funny, and then it's sad. What's happening to my America? What's happening to our America? Well, we'll continue to raise those issues and talk about them and bring those guests on, like a Lou Dobbs, like a Brian Bilbray, a Duncan Hunter, Bob Filner. We'll bring on the nuts of jobs of the world, like a Mikey Weinstein, so you can see the other side. And that's what we'll do here. All right, listen. Have a great evening. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank the people from Treaty Panel Homes, fire-resistant homes. I want to thank Denise Platt for her music. I want to thank Mikey Weinstein. He came on the show. He deserves the professionalism of a thank you. I want to thank you for listening in. I will be taking the next two nights off on vacation. You know, for the holidays, the show goes on, though. Enjoy the holidays. I'll talk to you next Monday, and we'll go out to the music. We'll go out to the music, not of Clint Eastwood, but of Denise Platt. It's called, what's it called, Brian? I have it here somewhere. It is called Only You. I'm Rick Amato. Have a great weekend. Well, not a weekend. Have a great holiday. Perfectly You, it's called. We'll get it together. Okay. Life is what it is. We do the best we can. And then we must move forward. So
thank you for joining us for the Rick Amato Show, weeknights 9 to 11 on News Talk 1170 KCBQ. And don't forget, you can also find Rick online at amatotalk.com.